The nameless wolf crouched, formed iron burning flesh. Pain. It snarled and protested. Still, it knelt. It had been commanded to. It had been forced to return to the clearing. Foul battle. Here it was assailed with jagged metal and stone. The stones. They still jutted from the ground, fierce, serrated, abhorrent. The warriors buzzed in the nameless wolf's ears. Buzzing, always buzzing. Insects, useless guts and noise. The nameless wolf growled as the metal dug further into its flesh. The slate in green lay on the ground in the midst of the jagged stone. They needed to take the slate in green with them. But the insects feared the wolf. This was one of its few grim pleasures.
I ain't going near that thing. I'll do it. Lower, beast, lower.
The nameless wolf growled. It wanted nothing more than to snap its jaws and end this foul insect, to end the woman in green. Oh, she was weak, feeble. It could end them all. But these chains, these abyssal chains.
You know, this would be so much easier if we do not take those off, one of the insects said. Our instructions were explicit. All right, all of you, spread out. You know what we seek. Stars guide you.
The nameless wolf howled at the moon. Anger and sorrow spilled out, deluging the wretched souls near. And now, to return to the hunt. Its nostrils flared. It knew the scent it was commanded to follow. Ah, yes. There it is. Soon its task would be complete. Soon they would let it rest. Then perhaps they would give it a name. Previously, death looms for Ifair of the Seventh Bond. But that is not what holds her focus. New prophecy fills her mind. She leaves the wall and they all die. She leaves the wall and lives in captivity and sorrow. Tomb. Voice. North. Windmill. King. Stone. Chapter 12. Markota Melkil. How long had she fought? How long had she searched for Tali, swinging her sword, claiming the lives of wardens, mages, and others? So many dead. The day had long stretched into night. Carnage. Chaos. Ifair let out a ragged breath as she knelt. The man in black she'd been fighting crumpled beside her. The travelers left alive who hadn't fled into the web cowered behind overturned carts, choking in billowing smoke. Screaming for help. Wardens struggled to understand where the enemies were coming from. They seemed just as likely to be attacked by one of their own as they were to be attacked by a random person. It had to be Granite behind this attack, this senseless slaughter. Ifair now believed the rumor she'd heard about the foul man's feast. But to what end did he plan this? What did Bishop Granite hope to gain from decimating an entire caravan's worth of people? Ifair shook her head. That was not her focus. She had to find Tali. She'd heard the sounds of the wolf, but had been unable to track it. There was always something, a new obstacle, a new attacker. She tried to stand and stumbled back to her knees. A bad sign. She could only run on adrenaline for so long. She scrambled for cover as two forms approached. Two wardens were rushing towards one another, swords raised, bloodlust apparent. One of them shouted, "Stars guide you!" And they both stopped. "And stars guide you," the second said. They nodded, turned, and went off to seek new prey. Stars guide you. Ifair's skin crawled. She'd heard others muttering this phrase. She thought back to her cryptic warning from Hodge before leaving the wall. Beware the stars. It seemed the warning was valid. A hand clasped her shoulder. She raised her sword. "Now there's a weapon," Whisper said. He hefted his short dagger. "This thing can only do so much," he said. "I should trade it in for..." He was cut off as Ifair wrapped her arms around him. He returned the embrace. His eyes wandered and he noticed Leaf clipped to Ifair's belt. His brow furrowed. "Where's Tali?" he asked.
"Gone," Ifair responded. "Taken. The wolf. Have you seen it?"
"No," Whisper responded. "No. She was taken by..." Ifair simply nodded.
"We must scour the area. I assumed it would be a simple task to find, given it's a massive fucking wolf, but it has proven strangely elusive."
"All right, let's split up."
"No. No. We stick together."
Ifair's hand shook. Whisper reached out and lightly placed his hand on Ifair's. A simple gesture, one that might be forgotten were the hands not stained with soot and blood. "I promise you, I'll be okay, and we'll find Tali. What do you know?" Ifair smiled faintly and shook her head.
"An interesting question. I have so much to tell you."
"Back! Back!" The words cut through the night, and bright flashes of green and blue lit up the surrounding forest. A cart nearby tipped over, and the chorus of 100 bottles of steeply discounted brewed goods smashing echoed through the woods. A warden crumpled to the ground, and Ricky Slar stood above him.
"You bastards! My best batch! Gone!" he shouted.
He got down on his hands and knees and mumbled as he rummaged through the wrecked cart. He came back up with a bottle in hand, already drinking from it. He lowered it. His eyes snapped to Ifair's. He held a silver pocket watch, which he clicked shut and stowed in his robe. His hair was disheveled, but his hat was immaculate.
"Ifair," he said,
trotting over and waving his bottle in the air in greeting. As he neared, he gestured, waving his hands around vaguely at the unfurling tragedy.
"Gruesome," was all he said.
Ifair tightened her grip on her sword and pushed Whisper behind her. Ifair had seen mages fighting in this mess too. Ricky Slar noticed this and his face darkened.
"I assure you, I'm an ally," he said, sounding wounded.
"You taught me to question who my allies were. Now, didn't I ask you to guard my other students?"
Ifair responded. Ricky Slar's face paled as he stammered.
You did? But there was no finite rules to the arrangement. I may have, perhaps, subcontracted out. They are safe, I assure you."
Ifair glowered at Ricky Slar. He slunk back. Ifair sighed. The others would be fine. They were not defenseless. Tali and Whisper were her focuses now. And for the task at hand, Ifair would take any help she could get.
"It's Tali. She's been captured by something strange."
Ricky Slar's eyes became distant, and they drifted over the surrounding woods.
"So that's what has the Sovereign in a frenzy," he mumbled.
"You knew of the Sovereign's existence?"
Ifair asked, shocked. Ricky Slar's eyes focused again. He frowned, shrugged, and took another swig from his bottle.
"An easy deduction. When you hear a giant wolf, it's probably a giant wolf. Besides, I long expected that there were reasons that the ancient Odrasian Empire built walls expansive enough to surround entire countries, possibly to keep something massive out, no? When you stop to think about it, it all adds up."
Ifair nodded. Such a simple thought. How had she never... Leave it to Ricky Slar to piece things together this quickly.
"Well, a sovereign has to leave. Help us get her back, and you will be greatly rewarded."
Ricky Slar squinted and took a sip.
"How much money is greatly exactly?"
Ricky Slar asked.
"More than you can imagine," Ifair responded.
"I'm quite imaginative," Ricky Slar said, his eyes glinting.
"Good. Then let those pleasant thoughts carry you through this battle. When Whisper and Tali are safely at Eero, you will be paid."
Ricky Slar seemed hesitant. Ifair sighed, reached into her robe, and pulled out a small piece of paper. She handed it to Ricky Slar. His eyes bulged out of his head. He licked his lips greedily and put it in his robe. He bowed deeply.
"Lead the way, Commander," he said.
Whisper was looking into the woods. He flinched as the wolf howled again. He looked back at Ifair. "We're gonna need more help," he said quietly, and held out his hand. Ifair looked down. She took the item he was holding, processing.
"If we're going to hunt a sovereign, we can use all the help we can get, right?
I know he killed your people, but if we have access to someone named the Profaned Hunter, we might as well use him." The gleaming metal of the last remaining lock trick sparkled in the light of the nearby burning carriages.
"And what makes you think he'll help?" Ifair said.
Whisper blushed.
I know that he kept asking for red berries, and I don't know if you noticed lately, but Tali's hands were always..."
Ifair chuckled.
"Red and sticky."
Only Tali would feed a dangerous prisoner the berries he'd been asking for. Ifair clasped her hand around the lock trick and ruffled Whisper's hair.
"Seriously? That's the plan? Release some lunatic who killed a cardinal in hopes he helps us find a girl who has been secretly feeding him red berries?"
Ifair nodded. Ricky Slar grinned.
"I taught you well."
The head of the caravan was devastated. Tall, gaudy carriages used by the rich were tipped over and aflame. Bodies of the rich and protector alike littered the ground. Ifair stepped around the strewn corpses. Amongst the flame and the smoke and the blood, the three rolling vaults remained, unscathed and shining silver. She eyed that strange geometry, that foul cell she dare not even look at the past couple days. Ifair noticed, to her amazement, that a soul warden still guarded them. He had sandy brown hair and held a spear aloft. She gestured for Whisper and Ricky Slar to stop and walked slowly forward. He pointed his spear at her.
"Stop," he yelled. "Stop. I don't have the keys. I can't release him. I'm just trying to make sure he's okay in all this. In this..."
"Stand aside," Ifair said calmly.
"No, he's defenseless in there, and..."
Ifair had to let herself grin. This warden didn't seem to be here to ensure the owl didn't escape. He was here to ensure he didn't get hurt. Ifair raised her hands. She held up the lock trick.
"See this," she said. "I can free him. Once he's out, he can protect himself. Warden, what's your name?"
"Drell," the warden said uneasily. The owl loosed a primal roar from inside his cage.
"Drell, let me be clear. I am Ifair of the Seventh Bond. A student of mine has been taken by that wolf you keep hearing. I need the owl to get her back."
Drell's face changed.
"Tali? That thing has Tali?" he said, stepping forward.
His demeanor changed from one of a man terrified to one willing to fight an army.
"Yes," Ifair responded.
Drell stepped aside. "Do what you need to do," he said. He was as white as snow, and Ifair noted with some amusement he seemed to be rubbing a small toy frog. She stood in front of the gleaming vault.
"He hunted us."
Ifair clenched her jaw, stepped forward, and held up the lock trick. Rage, augmented by confusion, bellowed from the owl's throat. He sprang from his cage. His hands were already around Ifair's throat before she could raise her sword. He wore rags. His white hair and beard were wild and unkempt. The corners of his mouth were the colors of rust. His yellow eyes locked on hers. He squeezed her throat and yelled incoherently. Ifair could see Drell trying to pull the man off, but to no avail.
"The girl!" Ifair rasped. "Tali, a sovereign. It took her. The wolf you saw. It has the girl."
His grip tightened and then faltered. He released her and stumbled back just as Ricky Slar and Whisper arrived to aid. Yver held her hand up, signaling them to stay away. He was dazed, angry, confused. His yellow eyes darted from gore to flames. He fell to his knees and pulled his hair. He seemed lost. His eyes were wide in abject terror, confusion, and sorrow. Yver stepped forward.
Help us. Help us save the girl. Help us stop the ones who did this, Yver said.
The owl looked at her. His eyes now narrowed. He stood up uneasily. He took a step back. He turned, and with surprising speed, was gone into the dark. This took Yver by surprise. She began to chase him, but stumbled and fell to the ground. She heard him disappear. In a puddle of blood, she could see the reflection of the night sky, the stars shining. Oh, shit, Drell said. Oh, shit. He ran and followed the owl into the woods. Yver sighed and allowed herself to collapse into the filth around her. She was so tired. Again, she looked at the stars. They twinkled down at her, mocking her. She leaves the wall and they all die. She lives in captivity and sorrow. Morkota Melkil.
Have anything useful to say for once? Yver said, directing her words to the stars. I'd take any advice you have on killing gods or hunting massive wolves.
I may be able to help you there, a muffled voice replied.
Yver sat up. The voice was not from the stars, but from inside one of the rolling vaults. The vault door swung open, and the slate, featherbound, stepped warily out. He clutched a wooden box to his chest.
I think I may have figured out some mysteries. I know why the wolf took the girl. I can help you.
Ricky Slar frowned.
I don't like him, he said, taking a swig from his bottle.
He's a friend, Whisper responded. Tilly went to him to try and bargain for Yver's release, and he gave her gloves. Yver looked down wide-eyed at Whisper, but she had no time for questioning. She returned her focus to the slate. The fact that the man seemed to be cowering in a rolling vault actually relieved Yver.
I heard some of them talking while I also heard snippets in the days leading up to this tragedy. The girl read our maps, yes? She told me as much. Whoever is doing all this, they need those maps. So they sent the beast for her. The map Tilly read that burnt, the contents of it are important for whatever foul plans are ongoing. Find those maps. Find the wolf. Find the girl.
And how did the wolf track her?
Featherbound sighed.
One of my own order must be aiding them. There are powers placed on all our items that allow them to be tracked if stolen or destroyed. I do not fully understand the mechanisms, but I think it is our best chance.
Featherbound paused and steepled his fingers anxiously.
This may be our chance, dear mage, if you wish to incriminate yourself further.
What do I need to do?
Yver asked. Featherbound nodded.
Take me to the maps you stole, and I can help you retrieve Tilly.
The three-sided bridge stood strong and regal, its pathways as barren as they'd ever been, and the three-faced statue in the middle looking out at the lonely causeway. The melted and blackened face watched Yver, Ricky Slar, Whisper, and Featherbound approach. The stoic face, brandishing its hammer, watched them go to the other side. Yver revealed the stash of supplies that they'd made, hidden in the hollow of a tree. She pulled out the map and handed it to Featherbound. Featherbound took it, his other hand still firmly gripping his wooden box to his chest. This map was the one not opened. He ran his fingers over it in a strange, jolting manner, each finger tracing over a spiderweb of lines on the metal seal.
Oh, thank you, formless one, he said.
He began to slowly undo the threads of the map. They came free. The map unfurled, showing the expanse of the wilds. He tore it in two.
What are you doing? Yver said.
The destruction will bring the beast, Featherbound said. The other map! Give me the other map.
Yver hesitantly handed over the other map. He tore this one as well. The wind blew, and Featherband flung the pieces of the map into the air. He laughed as they fluttered away. Rikislar raised an eyebrow.
"How exactly do you know that Tali will be with the wolf?" Whisper asked.
"She'll be there," Featherband replied. "Now, there is the matter of the other books. I hate to be a pain, but I'm going to ask for them back."
Ifair had predicted this. She retrieved the last books and gave them to Featherbound. They were no use now.
"Okay, now what?" Rikislar asked.
The bridge shook. They all turned, facing the same direction as the black and melted face of the statue. Together, they watched.
"I must admit I will be unable to help here," Featherbound said nervously.
"You won't be needed," Ifair said. She looked at Whisper. "That goes for you too," she said firmly.
"Actually, we're going to need the thief," Featherbound said. "I regret to say that his job may be the most dangerous of all."
Ifair shook her head.
"No, I can fight this thing without him."
The statue visibly shook. Chains rattled.
"Unless you are particularly good with lockpicks or have another one of the contraptions I saw you using, we need the boy. He's the only one who is going to be able to get the girl down."
Ifair turned to Featherbound. His face was grim.
"Down from where?"
Iron of hammers, iron of gods, iron of man. The nameless wolf despised them all. They burned its flesh, cut its skin. Unnatural, foreign, draining. Subservience hung heavy around its waist. Rage boiled in its chest. It growled low and guttural, saliva frothing and vindictful. If only, if only. And then there was the warm flesh pushed into its belly. Useless human flesh writhing against its fur. The young girl, the old woman, they were trapped by the chains as well. Foul insects, so powerless, so small. Even in its weakness, it could destroy all these pitiful insects. Foul beings, robbing it of a name. It was unwhole, incomplete, and yet they weakened it more. Someday it might be strong, and when it was strong, it would have its vengeance. It might even be strong enough to kill its master. The slate in green stirred on its belly, moaning. The girl was quiet. The nameless wolf marched onward, compelled to obey, forced to ignore the burning of chains. Onward, onward, onward. The nameless wolf marched. The iron of hammers burning, that eldritch ore draining. The Sovereign crested the bridge. Its eyes burned red. Its fur was singed and arrows protruded from its hide. Massive chains clung to its body. A wicked harness glinted in the pale moon. They were silver except for a large link in the middle of its throat that was so black it seemed to suck in light itself. The wolf bristled and the chains clanged and rattled. Ifair saw now. The chains were for utility, a special apparatus specifically for transporting people using the large beast. Locked in that apparatus, Ifair saw Tali and the slate in green, Lyrian.
"It's time," Featherbound said hurriedly. "The boy can get on top and loose the chains. Then it's up to us to distract it."
"I can help Whisper get up there," Ifair mumbled, "but I've never been particularly good at distractions. Not my style."
"Swinging your sword in its general direction should suffice, I think," Rikislar said.
He glanced down at his pocket watch and scowled.
"And it must be Whisper," Ifair asked. "There is no other way to free those chains."
Featherbound shrugged nervously.
Who's to say? I heard sayings of chains with complex locks by the wardens leading that thing. It's as good a plan as any."
"And after the chains are off?" Whisper asked.
"Flee," Featherbound said, "and pray to the Lord of Deepstone."
The wolf reached the crest of the bridge and raised its head. It howled, a note of ragged challenge and scorn. Below the wolf, a group of the guiding stars came armed. Two wardens, two mages, and a man robed in black. Blood coated their weapons and their bodies. The wolf stopped at the base of the bridge, allowing the group to proceed before it. They were tired, but they brimmed with confidence as they approached. How could they not, with an alleged god on their side? And just look at their prey. A street urchin, a slate with their shield still on, a mage holding a bottle and a pocket watch, and a mage holding a weird sword. Yver grinned and hefted her sword. For the most part, their confidence was earned. How could they have known they were facing possibly one of the greatest mages ever to live? She let some of her exchange flow into the sword. The blade flickered to life, glowing ominously in the drifting tendrils of smoke. She turned to Whisper. Ready? I could ask you the same, Whisper said, attempting to smile. Yver turned towards the wolf. I should be fine. According to prophecy, I have at least 4 more days to live. Yver charged up the bridge. The two mages were the first to attack. They weren't used to battle, it would seem. They took an unnecessary risk in attacking first. This was good news. They howled and charged. Yver recognized them as house mages, but could not tell which house. That would complicate things. She did not know what powers they may be able to draw on. One held out his hand, and huge shards of ice spit towards her, glaring and fierce. She swung her blade in an arc. It ignited in flames as it made contact, easily vaporizing the ice. A handy enchantment. Yver strode forward, blade raised and ready. The second mage retreated and raised her hands high above her head. The moon and stars were blotted out by dark forms swimming through the night sky. Vague shapes of indiscernible form began to blot out all light. Now that was more worrying. This mage would have to be dealt with first. Yver took a step forward, but a blinding pain rippled through her side. She gasped, dove forward, rolling and getting back on her feet. She could not see who attacked her. She walked carefully, holding out her blade in the magical darkness. She heard someone in armor behind her. She ducked. A mace swung harmlessly above her head. The darkness faltered, but for a moment, and Yver memorized the scene. The wolf still stood at the bottom of the bridge. Yver had a warden and a mage behind her, and a warden and a mage in front of her. She'd leave the two behind for Ricky Slar. The darkness returned, and Yver darted up the bridge. The mage who had hung back must have heard her footsteps as they gasped and began to flee. Not fast enough, though. Yver was on them in a heartbeat. The mage cried out in surprise as Yver swung the blade, relying on the noise of the mage's breath to find her mark. The sword found flesh, blood, and bone, and the darkness fled. Yver withdrew the blade and spun. She deflected the oncoming blow of a mace. The warden, surprised their cover of darkness had been dispersed, stumbled back. Yver directed a gust of wind at their chest. The sloping of the bridge caused them to lose their footing. They tumbled backwards. Yver watched them tumble past where Ricky Slar was currently engaged. Ricky Slar seemed to be mostly running in circles. The mage and warden were having a difficult time catching him, despite his odd passiveness. He was looking at his pocket watch while he dodged around. Yver was about to help, but suddenly he spun, raised his arms, and what seemed to be tiny needles of nothing but air pierced the mage. They stumbled back, already dead. The warden stared in shock, turned, and ran into the wilds. Ricky Slar shrugged and took a swig from his bottle. 3 down. Yver turned on instinct. Her sword just barely caught the razor-sharp teeth of the wolf. The beast roared as its teeth tangled with the blade. Yver dislodged the sword and leapt into the air. She contacted her 6th bond, calling a stream of wind to carry her away. No! She shouted. Whisper, who'd been waiting anxiously at the bottom of the bridge, ran up as fast as he could. As he passed Yver, he leapt in the air. Yver called another gust of wind and sent Whisper catapulting for the Sovereign. The wolf snapped at Whisper as he soared above its head, but he landed safely on the beast's back. He held on with one hand and gave Yver a thumbs up with the other. The wolf growled and snapped at him. Yver cracked her neck. Time for the distraction. She stepped forward and held up her hand. A pillar of flame flared in the wolf's face. It recoiled, snarling as it leapt back. Whisper kept his grip and began to work at the chains from his difficult position. He dropped one of his tools. The remaining warden and man in black walked carefully towards Ifair. They seemed cautious, but desperate. One turned to Ifair, one turned to Ricky Slar. Ricky Slar, yet again, pulled out his pocket watch. The glint of silver caught the wolf's eye, and it lunged at Ricky Slar. Ifair sent up a burst of air directly between Ricky Slar and the wolf. It knocked them both back. As Ricky Slar tumbled back, his hat fell off. He gritted his teeth and his brow furrowed. He glanced down at his pocket watch for only a moment. He looked up and grinned. Ice formed around the beast's paws. It howled and strained as glaciers formed, holding it in place. A common combination to use, pulling water from the air and surrounding items, concentrating it and freezing it. To do it this quickly and drawing on this much water from the area was impressive. The wolf strained, and the ice cracked, tiny spiderwebs shooting out in every direction. Whisper had a moment to work, however. Hopefully this moment of solace was enough for him to complete his task. Ifair sensed movement and turned just in time to dodge a wicked blade slicing through the air. The man in the dark cloak who had been trailing behind leapt back after his failed attack. His face was masked. He stayed close to the ground. He held a curved sword and he swapped it from hand to hand. He was dexterous and trained. More ice cracked. Ifair touched a configuration on the third bond and held out her hand. This was the same configuration she'd used to change old Father Jurgen's mind about giving her to Lee just weeks before. This time, she used the full potential of the configuration. She focused on the man in the cloak. He readied his sword, but before he could make a move, yelped and stumbled back. He clawed at his clothes as he felt the heat roar through his body. Ifair's exchange drained rapidly. Using your powers on something living like this always took a toll. To affect something living required far more exchange. This was a dangerous configuration to use as an attack, but she had bigger things to deal with. The man crumpled to the ground, whimpering. Ifair heard the ice blocks shatter and scatter across the stones of the bridge. "A little help?" Whisper yelled as the Sovereign again flailed, trying to dislodge him. Ifair whistled, a single, piercing note. The Sovereign turned. She sprinted towards it. It lunged for her, maw gaping, hungry for blood. She dropped to the ground, calling on the same combination of powers Ricky Slar had just used. She made a thin coating of ice on the bridge beneath the beast. It served to both unsettle it and allow Ifair to slide between its legs, past the others and to the bottom of the bridge. It roared in frustration and turned to follow her. She dropped her sword and grabbed two handfuls of dirt. She backed up slowly, letting the wolf approach. It bore its teeth and stepped hesitantly forward. Whisper continued to work at the chains. Lyrian moaned from hers. "That's right, you stupid wolf," Ifair said. The wolf stepped off the bridge. Ifair threw the two fistfuls of dirt at the wolf. It splattered harmlessly on its fur. The beast paused, confused, and stepped forward again. Ifair reached out to the seventh bond. This was an experimental configuration, not one that was recommended for use. Greenstone's main use was crop health. The exchange required to actually make something grow could be extreme. Ifair had designed this configuration herself. She called on that greenstone configuration of the seventh bond. She called it again and again. Vines, wood, and thorns exploded from the ground. The soil on the wolf's fur spasmed, growth protruding from there as well. Plants sprouted and sprawled, covering the howling beast and rooting deep into the ground. Vines wrapped around its four limbs, and a small disfigured tree formed around one of its haunches. Roots dug deep into the earth. Ifair's exchange drained in but a moment. She focused, willing this unnatural act on. A growl was cut short from the wolf's mouth as vines wrapped themselves around its snout. The wolf struggled but was held firm. Ifair fell to one knee, her exchange drained. She heard a click, then another. "Oh shit, catch her!" Whisper shouted. Ifair darted forward, the chains now loose. Tali and Lirian plummeted to the ground. Ifair was below Tali in an instant, roughly catching the girl's body. Ifair brushed her hair out of her eyes. Her color looked strong, and she was still breathing. Her eyes opened.
"Found a sovereign,"
she said through cracked lips. "I saw that," Ifair said, choking down tears. "I'm sorry."
"Me too,"
Tali rasped. "I got to ride on the flank of a giant wolf, and I wasn't even awake for it." Ifair laughed a true, heartfelt laugh.
"A part of me wants to say that there will be other times, but I truly hope there is not," Ifair said.
Featherbound emerged from the trees. The slate was beaming at the successful release of Tali, though he stayed out of sight for the time being, allowing Ifair to hold the girl. He held his wooden box to his chest. He approached his companion, Lirian, and knelt beside her. She was conscious. Ifair could not hear what they were saying, but could see that it was heated. Featherbound reached down and retrieved something from Lirian's robes. It was a ring of keys. He put them into his robe. Something seemed to catch his attention, and he turned. Ifair followed his line of sight. More wardens approached, their armor dull and dinged, their weapons bloodied. The leader descended the bridge and pointed his halberd towards the group huddled at the base beside the vine-muzzled massive wolf.
"Name yourselves," he shouted. His voice did not waver.
"It's me," Featherbound called out.
The stance of the newcomers changed from tense to relaxed. Ifair sighed in relief. She reflected. This time it was allies, but there was surely more combat in the future. She remembered. Tali would need to arm herself. Ifair unclipped the small blade attached to her belt. She handed Leaf to Tali. Tali smiled, seeming to almost come out of a daze.
"I never thought I'd see this again after that fight. I don't know if I should have it. I wasn't particularly good at using it."
Ifair began to ask Tali about the events that had led to her capture when Featherbound carefully reached down and took Leaf from Tali's hands. He lifted it and carefully ran a finger along the blade.
"An interesting blade. It has a shape to it, but yet there is something right about it. I will keep this for now."
Featherbound clipped Leaf to his belt. Ifair furrowed her brow and stood to scold Featherbound, but one of the newly arrived wardens pushed her back to her knees. The wardens had formed a circle around them, their stances no longer relaxed. Ifair noticed that they were all looking at Featherbound.
"Stars guide you," Featherbound said.
"And stars guide you, guiding star,"
the warden leader responded, bowing to Featherbound.
"You bitch,"
Tali growled. Wardens held her back as well.
"I wish I'd stabbed you properly."
Featherbound chuckled and clasped his hands behind his back.
"You bastard,"
Ifair said, straining to stand. She was held firm. She put all the pieces together. She'd heard Featherbound yelling,
"The girl, the girl!"
He was not trying to save her, but capture her.
"Why even go through all this? Why chain her up only to release her?"
Featherbound chuckled.
"I needed to find those other books, dear mage. I don't think you realize quite what an issue you caused when you stole the blue and gold volumes,"
he said with a shrug.
"I needed them, and you led me right to them. A terrible plan, yes, but some of us do not find our powers in formed things."
Featherbound knelt beside the wolf and pet its head. It snarled, its massive jaws fighting against the vines and wood that held it in place.
"You all want to form things. Your metals, your stones, your plans. Where have plans gotten you so far, No, to plan, to talk, to think, to shape, all vain. When I say stars guide you, you think you know who I am. Dry your little eyes. Go ahead."
The wolf snarled and again tried desperately to break free, to consume Featherbound. Featherbound chuckled and stepped back. He raised his hands. They crackled with energy, red, chaotic, and formless. The energy swirled and eddied. He laughed a deep, piercing laugh. He shifted his hands to the vines, holding back the wolf. The vines ignited, the strange energy consuming and blackening them. Ifair watched in horror as this strange crackling energy crawled across the vines. It leapt off and began to consume some of Featherbound's own allies nearby. He only laughed at their shock and cries of pain and fear. The wolf now snapped and snarled and strained against the vines. The large warden who had led the others stepped nervously to Featherbound and spoke in a low, reverential voice.
Was it wise to free the beast? We were told explicitly that the chains must not be removed. It isn't a particular fan of you. With the chains off,
Featherbound gave a howl of rage and pointed his hands at the warden. The large man fell, shrieking, crackling energy creeping up his arm.
Fool, fool, have I taught you not? Learn to live with the chaos. Learn to love the formless. Who cares if the wolf will attempt to slay me? Let us loose it and see what happens.
Featherbound dismissively gestured towards Tali. Two wardens quickly stepped forward and grabbed her. They were terrified. They stared at their dying commander, but were silent.
Let me going, Tali. You are an interesting one. She leaves the wall and they all die. Oh ho! I didn't believe it at first, but so far so good. Oh glory. Shapeless, formless things. I was so afraid your foolish teacher had scared you away. But again, formless machinations allowed me to draw you back.
Tali attempted to kick Featherbound. The slate seemed to relish it. He pointed to Ifair.
Her and the others. Make sure they are detained until the wolf is free. Then do what you wish, I guess. But do not release them until the wolf is free. I don't want to see them ruining the fun early. I'm interested to see how fast it catches up with us with those chains off. It will tear us all limb from limb. Ooh, so interesting.
Featherbound left. Tali kicked and screamed as he dragged her along. The wardens now brought Rikislar and Whisper into the circle. Rikislar was still, but his eyes darted around, looking for escape. Ifair struggled against her captors. The crackling energy continued its slow burn, freeing the wolf. She had to break free instantly to retrieve Tali, but she had no exchange left. A ring of at least a dozen wardens stood watching them. She began to call her eighth bond. She stopped the call. The hands holding her went slack. The other wardens looked about, confused. Ifair dove for her sword and grabbed it. She rolled and crouched, holding the blade out. She stood up in shock. Half the wardens were already dead. The remaining wardens fell, arrows sticking out of each of their backs. Ifair turned and looked up the bridge. Striding down was a large man wearing a tattered gray cloak. It was made entirely of feathers and had a gaping hole in the center. He had long gray hair pulled back into a ponytail and a long white beard, both blew in the breeze. A hand of flesh held a bow, and a hand of wood and thorn and stone knocked an arrow. He had swords and knives attached to his simple clothes. His yellow eyes met Ifair's.
I needed to get my things, the owl said. His voice was hoarse.
He looked at the wolf, now nearly free. He cracked his neck.
Needed to go fast. I needed to get my things, he repeated.
Drell trailed behind him, looking incredibly worried and holding his spear.
Sorry, Drell said, jogging behind the owl, flustered and out of breath. It took time to find his weapons. We saw the whole thing.
The owl grunted, spit, and looked around. He then looked back at Ifair, but pointed in the direction Featherbound had taken to Lee.
We saved the girl, he said sternly.
Ifair nodded her head.
We saved the girl.
He then turned his attention back to the wolf, whose front legs and maw were now totally free. It was starting to stand, growling and snarling.
You kill the slate. I distract the beast, he said.
Ifair couldn't help but notice with some fear that he did not say, kill the beast.
Why are you helping?
Ifair asked. The owl grunted.
Berries, he said.
Ifair nodded.
I'll be back for you.
The owl was not listening, but now focusing his whole attention on the wolf. Ifair turned and ran to Whisper. Featherbound had spoken so ill of her plans, but that was exactly what she was going to use to defeat him. Whatever powers he was using, they were strange, unlike any configuration Ifair had ever seen.
Either they were a unique power of Scepter or something different. Plans would work just fine for Ifair.
You, she said, pointing to Ricky Slar, help the owl.
The owl took one look at Ricky Slar and scoffed.
Don't need it, he said, raising his blade, and take the kid with you.
Ricky Slar shrugged and looked at Ifair.
You heard the man, he said.
I'm 30, Drell said. His frog squeaked.
What are we going to do? Whisper asked.
Ifair walked to the hollow tree where she'd hidden their supplies for the trip. She dug through a pack for only a moment before finding what she wanted. She smiled.
I need your help again, she said.
Anything, Whisper said. Anything. Kill, steal, lie, I'll do anything.
Ifair smiled.
It's actually something simpler. I need you to make a delivery.
I can hear them, Featherbound chortled. Relentless. Clumping through the woods. Something seems to have distracted the wolf. No matter. I do not fear Ifair of the Seventh Bond.
He stopped and watched Ifair approach. Her hair blew in the wind. She held the blade given to her by Trianne. It was a dull gray. Her exchange was depleted. The group of wardens surrounding Featherbound swarmed. Ifair did not need her powers to defeat them. She sidestepped one, letting his sword swoosh by her and clank harmlessly into the dirt. She stepped on the blade, pushing it farther into the ground. He released the weapon as he realized it was stuck, and Ifair used the opportunity to swing around, kicking him against a companion. They both stumbled back. Two more stepped forward. They were careful and pushed Ifair back.
Seems she is taken care of, Featherbound said. Let's keep moving, Tali.
You forgot me, Whisper said, rolling out from the bushes where he'd hidden. He stabbed Featherbound in one of his legs. The slate grunted in pain and fell to one knee. He lashed out with his powers. Whisper was quick, dodging to the side and disappearing back into the brush. Two wardens pursued him. Tali used this opportunity to break free. She ran back towards the bridge. Featherbound chased her and was finally able to grab her by the hair.
Ifair was now struggling in the distance.
I honestly was looking forward to seeing the powers of the Mage of the Seventh Bond in action, but this is a pathetic display, truly nothing to fear.
It's not her you should fear, Tali said.
Featherbound wrinkled his brow in confusion. He tried to understand what could possibly happen next. Which useless plan could the mage have employed as an attack? It was a small thing. Easy to miss. It isn't natural to assume that your own prisoner is your greatest threat. Tali pressed two fingers against the sacrum that Whisper had secretly slipped to her when he'd stabbed Featherbound's leg. This had been the true purpose of his attack. She focused. Featherbound knew the smell of smoke, but he was too late to react. Tali's sword he had so absently fastened to his own belt grew red hot, and his robes burst into flame. He screeched as his ornate robes turned from red to blazing orange. He released Tali and stumbled away, swatting at his own clothes, but the flames had already consumed almost every inch of him. He gave a strangled scream.
Flee! I must flee! He cried. I give you an offering! Get me out of here!
Power crackled and a wave of energy resonated through the forest. Energy, purple and red and swollen, formed around him, lifting his body in a formless and chaotic whirlwind. He seemed to shrink. And then he vanished. Something silver glinted on the ground where he'd been. Tali stepped forward. Amongst the burnt remain of the man's robes, there were two items. His strange wooden box and a ring of keys. She picked up the box, pocketed the keys, and turned to find Ifair. Ifair rushed over.
Did I kill him? Tali asked, her voice shaking. I hated him, but I didn't want to kill him.
Ifair shook her head.
No, I don't know what powers he's using, but I do not think he is dead. He appears to have vanished. Tali, how's your exchange?
She asked.
Good, Tali responded. I just did two bonds this time.
Ifair nodded thoughtfully. She looked back at the bridge. The combat had brought them back far enough in the woods to see the whole scene. Ifair could see the owl fighting the wolf on the bridge. She could see Drell and Ricky Slar watching anxiously from a distance. She could see the slate in green crumpled halfway up. and she could see the north and east side of the bridge.
"It was there in the silence," she said quietly.
Whisper cocked an eyebrow. Tali tilted her head. Ifair chuckled and clarified.
Tali had just woken up. Her exchange completely drained after her little experiment during the exchange test. And we sat in silence in my carriage. It was the first time I'd felt comfortable around others in a while. It was the first time I'd felt comfortable around myself in a while. And it was there, in that silence, that I knew you were both special.
Ifair stood and smiled.
I regret getting you involved in this, but I cannot regret the time we have spent together.
It has been interesting, Tali said.
Interesting is an understatement, Whisper responded with a grin.
I have so much to tell you, Ifair said, but there is a final task to complete. I promised the owl I would return to aid him. Being a newly honest person, I'd best go.
Can't you tell us apart now?
Tali said curiously. Ifair smiled.
Those who say they are our allies are not always our allies, and those who seem our enemies are not always our enemies. Tali, let no one give you a title and call you their own. Whisper, be confident. You are stupendous, and both of you trust each other.
Whoa, Tali said. That was overly vague and a bit sentimental. I think you've taken some blows to the head during these fights.
Were you reading Bellstrom while you were gone or something? Whisper asked. You have 4 more days before you get to start talking like that.
I shall expound later, Ifair said with a chuckle. While I'm gone, Tali, patience. Whisper, trust. Here, this should help you both with the task at hand.
Ifair bent over and wrapped her arms around Tali and Whisper. Her embrace was warm and smelled faintly of iron and herbs. She placed something in Tali's hand. She leaned back, groaned, and limped away. Whisper watched her go. She patted Ricky Slar on the shoulder as she passed him. Something on the north side of the bridge caught Whisper's eye. Banners. Banners flapping in the wind. A single rose in the carnage of a battlefield. The Lady of the Rose rode to their aid. He heard Tali gasp behind him.
I know, he said in agreement. Finally, some good news.
Tali did not respond. Whisper turned. She was not looking across the bridge. Her hands trembled as she stared at the tiny book she held. Ifair's namesake book. A secret book. An heirloom passed from family member to family member. Ifair's father had passed it to her before his death. And now Tali clutched it in her hands, tears streaming from her face. Ifair's head had been swimming. Watching Featherbound disappear reawakened something in her. No configuration could do anything like that. No configuration could make someone move through space like that. Questions flooded every inch of her mind. Questions of her death. Questions of power. Questions of life. Questions of how to protect Tali. And then she'd seen the Lady of the Rose, seen those banners snapping in the wind, riding for the bridge. She knew the Lady of the Rose would do anything to get the map of the wilds. And then there was Featherbound, who also wanted so badly to get to Tali. What should she do? What could she do? Take of me 3 scales. And suddenly, she knew many answers. Every question had an answer, every melody a song. She looked at Tali and Whisper. She had so much to tell them, so much to teach them. That was the worst of it. There was no time. She'd professed to be a more honest person, but this last simple dishonesty was a final kindness to herself. She wanted this to be their last moments, together. Smiles, laughter, and hope. For Whisper and Tali, there would be other moments, but for Ifair, this was her last. As she hugged Tali, she slipped her namesake book into the girl's hands. She walked away, forcing herself not to look back as tears streamed down her face. She patted Ricky Slar on the shoulder and he turned. He looked up, ready to make a quip, but froze when he saw her face.
Ifair? He said quietly.
I'm going to erase some lines, Ifair said quietly.
She nodded back towards Tali and Whisper.
You're probably going to need to hold them.
Rikislar looked back and nodded grimly. Ifair stepped forward. She stooped and grabbed Trian's sword from the base of the bridge. It shone no light because her exchange was gone, but she didn't need exchange. She knew that now. She was going to use a special bond, one that she now, somehow, beyond her comprehension, understood. Featherbound had mocked plans, but one stood out so clearly in her mind, so bright, a single star, a single chance. Draw on my power, for this I must ask of your soul. And Ifair gave this willingly. She was filled with power. She touched her eighth bond. She was filled with power, with more knowledge. Ancient things swam in her head, names and words and ages. Her wounds stopped their ache. The world seemed to move slower around her. Ifair of the eighth bond sprinted forward, sword raised. Wardens had begun to stream onto the bridge, the remaining of the guiding stars. Ifair could see on the other side the stooped and wounded form of Featherbound, aided by two wardens. A warden noticed Ifair and ran for her with a howl. Ifair stepped forward and firmly kicked the attacker. He was shocked at the speed, shocked at the strength. His shock disappeared over the edge of the bridge. He screamed as he fell. A hand grabbed Ifair's robe.
Makota Melchior,
Lyrian mumbled.
Makota Melchior,
Ifair responded quietly. I need you to do something. The face of the stoic builder watched the two talk, its hammer aloft, pointing to mage and slate. The owl spun. The owl dodged and swung. More wardens joined the wolf. The owl fought fiercely, blades spinning, arrows loosing, but he was not invincible. His defenses faltered for just a moment. Furious jaws snapped at their bane. But a sword caught those jaws for the second time that night. The mage Ifair stood, straining against the wolf. The warden surged forward, but as the owl stepped forward to defend, a force rippled across the bridge and knocked them all back. The owl stared in disbelief. He turned to Ifair, his exhausted face ponderous.
Take the slate, Lyrian, the one in green, to the other side,
Ifair said, straining against the sovereign.
No,
the owl said. Ifair looked at him.
It's for the girl,
Ifair said. The owl hesitated, nodded, and obeyed. Ifair returned her attention to the wolf. She stepped back, dodging the claws of the wolf as it surged forward. The wolf howled. Ifair used a power she did not know possible. Her body felt strong, her mind felt strong, and there was still something she held back. She ducked, swung, and fought. The wolf brought its paw down, and Ifair raised her hand. Scaled tendrils rose from the surface of the bridge and wrapped themselves around the wolf's paws. The wolf's eyes flickered in terror and recognition. It turned to flee, but Ifair raised her hand further. The tendrils writhed, tightened, and drug the wolf back. It yelped and clawed as it was pulled to Ifair. But Ifair was not watching the wolf. She stared at Trian as the Lady of the Rose rode up the bridge, Selud and Yelm at her flank. Trian gestured to the sovereign, and it was circled by her knights. They hesitated at the sight of the strange, scaly flesh that held the beast in place, but they followed orders. They raised their spears. Ifair now felt pity looking at the massive beast. All her adult life, she'd sought to find the sovereigns, not to kill them, not to fight them, but to study them. Up close, the wolf was truly beautiful, even after being wounded and weakened. She reached out and touched its head. It growled. She jerked her hand back. Spears plunged and the wolf howled. Trian's troops now split, a portion facing Featherbound's assault and a portion looking down the bridge towards where Tali and Whisper hid. Ifair threw Trian's sword. It clattered at the ruler's feet. I guess you lived, Trian said, stooping to recover the blade. Now, the map.
The map is destroyed,
Ifair said, again stretching the truth. Even so, I believe I still have access. Trian nodded. Yelm and Selud nodded back. drew their swords and headed down the bridge. They were going to try and find Tali. The troops followed. Ifair stepped forward to stop them. Trian held blooming blood to Ifair's throat.
"When this is over, mage, you will thank me," Trian said. "We cannot allow Granite to progress any further."
In the distance, Ifair saw the Pale Lady.
"Wait," Ifair called out. "Wait. I can give you information you'll need."
Saelud and Yelm looked back, and Trian raised her hand. They halted. Featherbound and his troops drew closer. The wolf whimpered.
"Speak," Trian said.
"Pay close attention," Ifair responded. "A scorpion and a frog are deeply in love, but can never touch one another, as the scorpion would accidentally kill the frog with its poison. What would you propose to them to aid in this matrimony?"
Trian stared at Ifair.
"I have no idea what any of that means," she said.
"Nor do I," Ifair responded. "I thought I would someday, but it seems questions and answers follow me even to my death. It's simply the only thing I could think of. I've never been good at distractions."
Ifair raised her hand. This was all a pretty fair trade for a soul. Trian's eyes widened. The three-faced statue watched, and the bridge cracked. Had they known? Tali and Whisper sobbed and struggled against Rikislar as he held them in place. Tendrils coiled around the stone and squeezed. Ifair found herself, for the second time that day, baffled by powers she had thought impossible, and this one was being controlled by her. The bridge cracked again.
"Retreat!" Trian screamed.
Ifair stepped forward to grab the ruler and hold her in place, but Saelud's sword found Ifair's side. Power was already streaming from Ifair's hand, the last use of her eighth bond. Yelm jumped in front of Trian. He raised his arms and used some power of his own. A gust of wind knocked Trian from her feet and sent her tumbling back down the bridge, landing safely on the north side from where she'd ridden. Featherbound laughed. The wolf howled. And the bridge collapsed.
Tomb. Voice. North. Windmill. King. Stone. Had the gods known? They thought they had.
Ifair was supposed to die in 4 days' time. Why would she die sooner? How could they have ever known that she would sacrifice herself for an orphan of the deep she'd known for only a short time? But the sign was there. Stars in the sky, lines on the floor. Since the long silence, the stars had been fixed in the sky, a stagnant prophecy, absolute, unchanging. This is the key tenet of the guiding stars. This the gods accepted, but none of them had paid attention. None of them except one. Perhaps Ifair saw it in those final moments as she plunged into the chasm, as Sayut had only a few weeks ago. A single star moved in the night sky. What had it cost to move but a single thread of prophecy? What power to move that one star from one constellation to another? And to what end was it moved? Ifair was glad the destruction was deafening. She could not hear them cry. As she fell, she could see the stars. And let them be just that. Stars. Whisper and Tali would weep tonight. They may weep for many nights, but they would be able to look at the stars many more times. She'd made sure of that. They would not understand. Few would, but Ifair did. On impact, her vision went dark, but she could still see. The Pale Lady stood above her. She nodded in satisfaction and disappeared. Ifair marveled that she was still alive, though death was close at hand. Her body rose and fell from a ragged breath that was not her own. The body of the wolf had broken her fall. It whimpered and twitched. Nearby, the three-faced statue lay in ruins. A fragment of the melted face stared at Ifair and the wolf. Ifair ran her hand through its fur, smearing blood. It whimpered. One last answer. She crawled up to the wolf's ear and whispered a name. The wolf stilled. Ifair smiled. She could not see the stars anymore, but they could see her. Let them remain a blanket in the night sky, covering her family. The mage Ifair rolled over and breathed in. A mixed aroma of loamy earth, blood, and wolf filled her nose. And then she was gone.